プレイステーション。
To the land of long live play, where greatness is always waiting. Welcome to the PlayStation Experience. As always, I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and joining me as always is the Secretary of Spoil, the Platinum Princess herself, Miss Haley Nicole Miller. How you doing, Haley?
I'm doing all right. It is earlier than we normally record, but I am totally okay with that.
I am too, because
we are probably going to go long today.
Yeah, and you never sleep anyway, so it doesn't matter.
And my work computer just turned on by itself. What the fuck? Okay. Yes, I am dying. No, I had popcorn like half an hour ago, so.
Oh, okay. So, how's your week been, Haley?
I haven't worked literally a day this week.
You haven't worked none this week?
Correct. Hi, tech issues are fun. By the way, I no longer have an office we're going back to. My job is now permanently remote.
Wow. Well, remote is good.
Yeah. It just gets very hot in my room in the summer, which is why I was hoping for the office, because it was air conditioned. But the office permanently closed December 31st, and I didn't know that.
Wow. So, got to get to in your business. Can you put an AC in your room?
I can put, not a window unit, no, but I can probably get a portable one. But that's not my main concern. My computer, like my Ethernet cord, because the work computer has to be hardwired. Doesn't have Wi-Fi, and the systems we use require like a constant connection. So it has to be hardwired. So the cable just decided to stop transmitting an Ethernet connection. So I had to order a cable off Amazon. And then Thursday, I got to work for about 30 minutes before the power went out in my building and did not return until 7 p.m. on Friday.
Wow. That's a long time to be without power.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah. This building sucks.
Yeah. Kind of see that. Might be time to think about moving, Haley.
No, absolutely not. No. I instead filed a landlord tenant board complaint because the hot water disappears all the time too. So, thanks, mother. if that got picked up, everybody, that's my mom. Yeah, we had a snowstorm the other beginning of the week, and hot water was gone during that.
Sounds like you live in like a house from like a movie, like one of those slumlord houses you see in movies.
Pretty much.
like the place you see Daredevil fight in the hallway.
Pretty much. Other than that, I finally beat Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
What did you think?
Great story. Boy, does that game go on too long, though.
I can see that.
As soon as you like upgrade all of Peter's abilities and unlock all the skills, you stop getting experience, but they're still giving you materials to like upgrade your stuff, and there's nothing to upgrade. So the game just goes on too long.
Yeah, they on the sequel, if it gets a sequel, which I hope it does, they need to expand that skill tree and things like that, because seems like you get all the skills way too early, except the ones you get in the game that they like force you to get at a certain point. But yeah.
Yeah, so like kind of like chapter 10, there's nothing to upgrade for like Peter anymore. And then you're just waiting to unlock skills for other guardians. I don't know. The story was good. They do that fake out thing with the credits, which is no, stop doing that.
I thought it was good. I like that part.
Yeah.
It was surprising. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I'm gonna need new headphones soon. That's interesting to know. Sorry, that distracted me there. The other thing that I feel the game doesn't really do well is boss fights. Specifically, light spoilers here for like a late game boss battle. That Grand Unifier battle takes way too long because they disable all of your abilities, like 60% of that battle.
Question, is that the one? I don't want to get too spoilery into it.
The guy with the gold arm.
Yeah, I don't want to get too spoilery, but I get screwed. I'm going to say the part. There's a certain thing that you do in early in the game. If you do it, it makes the fight easier. Did you do that certain thing?
You mean let Gamora chase after him? Yes.
Okay, that's all. Okay, that's all I want to know.
It's that fight still took way too long because they disable all of your abilities and turn the entire battlefield dark. Like,
I didn't have too much of a problem. I'm trying to think why I didn't have too much of a problem with it. I don't remember, but I do remember that it does like turn the battlefield dark, and he has these abilities to like nullify your abilities unless you do something. You have to do something to stop him from doing that. I don't remember what it was.
Fight took way too long. Is my point. Other than that, the story was pretty good. They should have let you play as other guardians. I'll still stick with that because specifically in that battle, there's a character you definitely should have been playing as, is all I have to say.
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe they'll do it for the next game. I like the way you control other guardians in this game, but I would honestly like if you could do both.
Yeah.
If you could switch between guardians and control guard, I don't know how they would do that, but if you could switch between guardians and control guardians the same way, I would love that. I think it would be great.
And then the other thing that I've been playing, I'll get into some TV stuff here in a second because you know that's happening. The other thing I've been playing is Dying Light 1, because Techland has this very nice thing called Techland GG, which stands for Techland Gamers and Goodies, where you can link your PlayStation network account, your Xbox account, your Steam account, or your Epic account to your profile and do quests in the game to unlock weapons and stuff. And these are free. Like, you're not paying for these. You just do quests to get XP and you unlock the weapons and they get added to your game.
They get added to Dying Light 2, you mean?
No. The stuff that's available right now, you add to Dying Light 1.
Okay.
There are Dying Light 2 rewards, though, on there. But obviously, there's no quests for Dying Light 2 right now.
Okay, gotcha. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, so, like, for example, one of the quests that it has you do is, like, heal 20 times for 200 XP. Right? And then once you complete that, it unlocks a second quest that's, like, heal 40 times, right, for 400 XP. And it increases in increments, and you do that, and you get the XP, and it levels up your account. And as you level up, you gain rewards you can use.
I got to tell you, it's no way in hell I'm going back to Dying Light 1. And I liked it a lot. But it's not because of the game itself. It's because when I was playing it, I played it earlier when it came out. I had a bug, and it crashed the game, and it basically made it unplayable for me. It corrupted the file, so I would have had to start back over. So, like, no, not doing this.
Here's my thing. I stopped playing because, boy, did I forget how shaky that camera is in Dying Light 1.
It is, yeah.
It is so shaky. And after playing games at 60 FPS for, like, months, actually over a year now, I can't do it. Like, I could deal with 30 FPS. Like, I played Red Dead on my PlayStation 5, and that's at 30. I can deal with that. But you do 30 FPS and make the camera shaky? I can't. Also, we have a question from this gentleman that we'll do later, but Hollywood Bones over from the Married to the Games Discord and Jim G, Good Morning Guys podcast.
Great podcast.
Has mentioned that he actually can't play Dying Light 1 at all because it gives him motion sickness.
I can see that. That game, but he's
excited really bad with that. For 2, so we'll see. And on that note, before I get to what I've been watching, which I'll go through quick, but there will be coverage specifically from us, but also me in general, of Dying Light 2. I did request a review code. Don't know if I'm going to get one. If I get one, we may record an early type thing. Yes. If not, we will definitely be recording the weekend that Dying Light 2 comes out.
That is correct.
And you will absolutely get at least 1 or 2 streams on my Twitch account. I will fit them in. This is a game that I definitely want to cover. I will say I have watched the side quest stuff that Techland released from streamers. Game looks fantastic, and the camera is not shaky at all from what I can see. So should alleviate some worries players have had.
I pre-ordered it just so we can talk about it on XP.
Okay, well, I was going to offer you something, but okay.
Yeah, I figured, like, let me just pre-order it just in case, so.
Cool, you can help me with the co-op trophies then.
No.
Delvin, the co-op trophies are simple. It's join a co-op game and kill 100 enemies in a co-op game with 2 other players.
That doesn't sound fun.
I mean, one of them is simple. It just requires you to join the game.
That one's easy. Then I gotta go kill 100 people?
No. You kill 100 enemies. It could be zombies, humans, whatever. You just need to be in a game with 3 people. That's all.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's better than the first game's co-op trophy, which requires you to beat 5 separate quests in a game with 4 people.
Fuck that. That doesn't sound like anything I want to do at all. That doesn't sound like anything I want to be into, involved in, or dealing with.
On the topic of what I've been watching, it's still just CSI.
Well, that was anticlimactic.
No. It's CSI, which I'm up to 3/4 of the way through season 5. I'm on episode 20 out of 25 of season 5. Keep in mind, people, there are 16 seasons of this show.
Jesus Christ.
enjoying it. This season has definitely had some episodes that do not age well. Specifically the episode on a transgender victim. That did not age well.
What? This is a silly question. What year was that season?
2004.
That makes sense then. That makes sense.
Yeah.
When I hear that, you're like, okay, that kind of makes sense to me because completely different world than it is today.
Yeah. There's also an episode on infantilism.
What the fuck is that?
That is a grown man who dresses up as a baby. And yeah, it's weird.
yeah.
That's some kink stuff. There's a bunch of interesting things done through this season.
Who wrote that season? Joss Whedon? That sounds like a Joss Whedon-ass season. I'm just going to write in all my weird kinks and sexually harass people.
This show does that a lot. They had an episode on furries.
Oh, God.
the other thing has been, of course, the return of Superman and Lois, which is very good. And I can't believe they're teasing who they're teasing.
I need to start watching that show again. I stopped watching it because the CW universe got so bad. I'm like, I'm not doing this no more. I give up. Particularly Flash. I'm like, ugh, I can't do this no more.
Well, here's what I'll say. I'm not spoiling anything for season 1, but who boy are they setting up the Death of Superman arc.
Oh, interesting.
And they're doing it, as it seems, comic book accurate.
Oh.
Like, Doomsday's first, and yeah, if anyone doesn't know what the Death of Superman arc, it's from 1992.
It's one How of would you not know that, by the way?
My mom didn't know that. But for anyone, I would assume most people know one of the most famous Superman arcs of all time.
Probably the most famous Superman arc of all time.
Yeah. Anyways, the point being is that, like, his first introduction in that arc is he's, like, covered head to toe in something. And as he starts smashing through, like, the rock wall, it's breaking what he's wearing. That is literally how they introduce him on the show.
Now you make me want to watch it.
It's very good. And season one is only 15 episodes. Season two will also be only 15 episodes.
Okay. That sounds feasible. I like that.
Yeah. There's literally no filler, really, at all in season one. Unless you don't care about Lana's stuff. But, like, Lana's stuff leads into the main story anyway. So I don't... There's some people I've seen get upset about the Cushing family stuff in Superman and Lois. But their story in season one leads directly into, like, the main plot. The only episode that people would really say is filler, and it's not even filler, it has, I won't spoil why, but it has a reason, is episode 11 of season one is a flashback episode.
I think I did hear about that one.
The end of the previous episode will explain why it's a flashback episode. And you'll enjoy it because he's wearing the Donner costume.
Yeah, that's what I heard of the episode.
Yeah.
Okay. Has there been anything else interesting you've done or seen this week?
Someone spoiled Scream 5 for me, so they're going to die.
Well, yeah. Rest in peace to them.
Yeah. Other than that, I downloaded GTA 4 on my Series X.
That's cool.
Because I was like, why not? This game was on sale for $5.
Oh, that's cheap. I know it was on sale that cheap.
There's a back compat sale on right now on Series X.
Oh, I did not know that. Maybe I should turn that on.
Other than that, not really much been going on. I did watch the Superman Doomsday movie from 2007 and totally forgot that John DiMaggio was in that.
Yeah.
As one of the worst, and this is nothing on John DiMaggio, like, John DiMaggio is great, but as one of the worst interpretations of Toy Man I have ever seen.
Yeah, that's accurate. Can't even, like, deny that. Yeah,
like, I know people hate the Arrowverse, but even Supergirl, which I love but recognize that it has problems, even Supergirl did Toy Man better than this animated DC movie.
Yeah, I can't deny that. So mine's gonna be short because I haven't played. I only been playing one game. It's called Chorus. Have you heard of this game, Ellie?
You mean the game that's Chorus but spelt like Chorvs?
That is correct.
Yeah.
What it is how do I describe this? It's a space shooter. A space shooter with a storyline. I love it so far. It's great. Let me see if I can find my notes for it. I wrote some notes on it because it's a lot of stuff there. And I love this game a lot. It's really cool. I've been glued to it because it's not long. I think it's like 10 hours long. So I wanted to, let me find my notes. You can keep talking while I see if I can find my notes for it.
It was revealed at, like, the Xbox show in 2019, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Found my notes. Yeah. It's a space combat game with a lot of narrative. Okay. You play as Nara, who's the space pilot, and what her whole storyline is like, the best way to describe her is she's kind of like Darth Vader almost, in terms of, like, she was part of this cult, and I don't want to spoil the game too much, but her as a member of this cult, just flying this spaceship, did something seriously bad. And once she got out of the cult indoctrinated, she wants to right those wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going back now, fighting for the, I guess you call it the resistance against the space cult. And the story is kind of riveting in terms of, like, you have her, she has the inner monologue, in her, and like every time she's doing certain things, it'll talk to her like, oh, there's danger over there or this and that. Her character kind of looks like Jax from Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
Looks a little bit like her. Very well acted. She has an inner monologue, and she talk about certain things that's bothering her and things like that, like how what she did in the past really affects her, as well as people finding out about it, because a lot of people don't know who she is still. They just know that when you get to a certain point, because she finds her old ship again, mm-hmm. So she's flying the enemy's ship. But she's helping the good guys. A lot of people don't understand why she's doing it and don't know who she is and what's her past.
So let me ask you here. Kind of the setup for, like, spoilers for an old game, by the way, but spoilers for the beginning of Mass Effect 2, where, like, people, like, Shepard comes back after, I won't say what, but, like, Shepard comes back and people are surprised she's working with, like, the terrorist organization.
Yeah, something like that a little bit.
Okay.
But the cool thing about this game, the best way I can describe it is it's an open world space combat game. Because you can go anywhere you want to on the map. It has a lot of you can call it wormholes that you can go through to go to other sides of the map and things like that. And you fly around and you do a bunch of missions, hub missions for people. Some are small, like, hey, you gotta go deliver this package to somebody. Or some are big, like you're getting like big space combat things. And one of the things that I always had a problem with space combat games is the fact that there's so much going on screen at one time. It's hard to kind of follow in terms of, like, okay, you got to follow after this ship, then you have to shoot the ships and blow up the ship and things like that. Mm-hmm. This game is cool because Nara has these things that she do that's called the rites. And as she does these rites, she gets some of her old powers back that she had before. That helps her throughout her missions. And the rites missions are pretty cool. So, like, you go through these, like, kind of like temples and stuff, and you have to solve, like, little puzzles and shoot things, and it's pretty cool. But once you get these powers back, it makes the game kind of easier, and it's kind of fun. Like, one of the powers you get is a warp ability. And with this warp ability, while you're in the space dogfighting people, you can press when you see an enemy ship, you can press a button and you automatically go behind the enemy ship. And that makes it super easy to, like, kill them and stuff like that. Your ships are super customizable. The enemy variety is really good. Like, you have big, like, battle, like Star Wars type destroyers Star Destroyers, that's what they call it. Star Destroyer ships you got to destroy and things like that. You have little cruiser ships you got to destroy. And you got to go through, like, the ports and blow up certain things. It's super fun. I enjoy it a lot. Beautiful, beautiful game. It looks really good. I mean, like, you can tell it's a PS5 Xbox Series X game. It looks beautiful. The space combat is good. The cutscenes, which is a lot of cutscenes, which I like a lot, that kind of facilitate the story. Cutscenes look really good. Haven't had too many problems with it. I don't want to say I had any problem with it now I think about it. The game is solid. I like it a lot. I'm already in Act 2. I think there's 3 acts to the whole game. The game's only like 10 hours. I think it's on Game Pass right now, matter of fact, now I'm talking about it. I bought it before it was on Game Pass.
Let's find out.
Yeah, I'll keep talking while you're looking. I bought it before it was on Game Pass, and I don't think it was that much. But I bought it for PS5, and the only reason why I stopped playing it when I first bought it was because I wanted to finish Far Cry 6. And now that I finished Far Cry 6, this is a good deviation from that, because the last few games I played have been just first-person shooters or first-person action games. So playing this is really, really a breath of fresh air. I like it a lot.
So searching for it on the Game Pass mobile app with both spellings, CHORVS or the original, like how it would actually be pronounced, Chorus, no results. So I don't believe it's currently on Game Pass.
Okay. I would say, if you're looking for something to play, which you probably shouldn't be looking for something to play right now because everything's going to come out in a couple of days.
I mean, yeah, like, so here's a little inside baseball. I asked Delvin originally if he wanted to record next weekend because the Uncharted remaster's coming out.
That is correct.
That's why I asked Delvin. But then, which we'll get to later, breaking news happened this week, so we recorded early.
That might be an understatement.
And then, as mentioned, Dying Light is out next week. And you will get a show from us regardless, because, like I said, that is a game I definitely want to cover. So. Yes.
Chorus is $39.99, so it's not that expensive. Beautiful game. I'm enjoying it. If you like space combat games, check it out. My son, when he passed by me playing, he said, kind of reminds me of Star Fox. And I kind of say, yeah, that's kind of the same feel. This is kind of what I would want from a next-gen Star Fox game in terms of, like, you're sitting there, you're having these aerial space dogfights and things, and also you have the bad guys talking to you and you have people talking to you. Like, I like it a lot. Definitely check it out if you're into that type of stuff.
Oh, speaking of, question for you. Were you playing on Series X or on the PlayStation?
PS5.
Did any of the dialogue come out of your speakers on the controller?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Do you know why I ask?
Why?
Because literally the only time it happens in the Guardians game is when you're in the ship doing the combat, and I wanted to scream because it was 5 a.m. as I was playing this game and my mom was sleeping and I had the TV volume extremely low. And there's no way to change the speaker volume on the controller. So this thing goes, and I nearly wake my mom up blowing ships up because the combat between these two idiots speaking, I'm referring to Peter Quill and the guy he's shooting at, are just shouting at each other through my controller speakers.
That's weird. I like when it does like the talking through the speakers, but they have to implement that better in certain games. Like, it can't be like, oh, here it is just right there, or here it is right there. It has to be like a certain type of way they do it where it works out. Like, I don't think Chorus does it, but I think it would do good if, like, the inner monologues and things like that was through the speaker.
Like, I know it's a PS4 game, but I think Killzone Shadowfall did it nice, too, where, like, audio logs would come through the speakers.
Yes.
But you had the option to turn it off. I could not find an option to turn that off in the Guardians game.
Yeah, that's weird. I like the speaker on the controller. I hope they implement that in more games. I hope they do a better job with it. Put some thought into it. And give you the option to cut it off if you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So, anything else we want to touch on before we get to all these topics?
Did you watch Last Night in Soho yet?
No, I have not. I was watching. I can tell this. I'm going to be on a podcast really soon, talking about the movie Jaws. So I was rewatching Jaws yesterday.
I see.
That movie is not good.
Like, I know I'm going to get flack. Are we talking about the original?
Yes. I know I'm going to get flack for this, but watch that movie today.
That, I mean, you can say that about a lot of movies. Watch the movies from that year now and they don't hold up. Like, yeah.
Jaws doesn't hold up. It's not good.
You know, like, what does hold up, though?
Big Trouble in Little China.
I was going to go with Jurassic Park, but okay.
I haven't watched Jurassic Park since it came out. I probably should watch that again.
You should. It holds up really well.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch Jurassic Park again. Matter of fact, not only will I watch it again, I will get it in like the 4K Blu-ray. Because I wonder how that looks.
You know the only way to get it in the 4K Blu-ray is to buy the other movies with it, right?
God damn it.
You can only buy the 4K copy of Jurassic Park with the 5-movie collection.
So I'll buy the digital version. I'm not buying all those movies.
Also, isn't it on Netflix in the States?
Is it? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll check. I don't know. That's a good point.
Also, while we're at it, what does your shirt say?
Oh, this is a Bad Batch shirt.
Okay.
It's not. I know it looks like, from my angle, like it says Bad Bitch.
No, actually.
I promise you, I'm not wearing a Bad Bitch shirt.
No, from the way your mic's positioned, I kind of thought it was like a Baywatch shirt. And I was like, what?
No, it's the Star Wars Bad Batch.
Okay.
Which I show I love. So I got a shirt for it. That's the best way to describe it. So, Activision is now owned, and probably the biggest news, maybe in gaming history. And I'm not being superficial when I say that. I'm not exaggerating. Microsoft pulled this proverbial big dick and threw it on the table and bought one of the biggest game companies in the world, Activision, for $68
billion. $68.7 billion.
Yes.
And before we go any further, I feel like we need to address the elephant in the room. I feel like they didn't do 69 because they didn't want the internet to do nice.
Yeah, they should have did 69 now that I think about it. That would have been pretty funny. Well, matter of fact, no, I wouldn't have. I just thought about some of the allegations Activision has. Let's stay away from anything, any sexual innuendos as possible with that company.
Yeah.
They bought it for $68 million, $68.7 as Haley says. And with this purchase, Microsoft now owns Call of Duty, Elder Scrolls. Well, why I say Elder Scrolls? They own Call of Duty. Well, they do own Elder Scrolls. They own Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Guitar Hero, basically Candy Crush. They own everything right now. All of Activision's big games. Let me name all. Let me just name off the Xbox first party studios now, so that they have. Because I'm looking to pull up the list. They own Rare, Mojang, World's Edge. They own Bethesda, Tango Gameworks, ID, Arcane, ZeniMax, Alpha Dogs, Treyarch, Raven, High Moon, Infinity Ward, Toys for Bob, Binox, Sledgehammer Games, Blizzard, King, Playground Games, Compulsion Games, Obsidian, Undead Labs, 343 Studios. Xbox has an incredible lineup of first-party games now that they kind of like. I make the joke in my name on PSVG, if you can't beat them, buy them, and that's exactly what they did. They didn't have a first part. They didn't have a spectacular first party lineup, so they just said, you know what? We're going to buy a first party lineup, and we're going to put all of it on Game Pass. It's pretty interesting way to do things. A lot of questions are coming up about this. A lot of people are upset because, especially if you're a PlayStation fan, but the conversation is not only about it, PlayStation fans being mad. People are more upset and worried about the state of where video games are going in terms of how Microsoft in the past 2 years have bought two major game studios and is getting close to that point where it feels like it's not a monopoly. Let me be clear about it. It's not a monopoly, but it's feeling like it's getting toward that term in that area, and people are worried about what will this do for gaming. I know, Haley, you have been, and I said it on multiple times, Haley was right. You have been a big proponent of not seeing these type of things happen.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of consolidation, the way that the industry seems to want to go there. However, before we go deep into my opinion, let's throw Hollywood Bones question in here and talk about the positives.
Okay.
Can you please read Hollywood Bones question?
Now I have to go look up Hollywood Bones question real quick.
It's at the bottom of the dock.
Okay. So Hollywood Bones asks, with all things, there are positives and negatives. There are so many negative responses to the Xbox acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Can you discuss any and all positives, please? Okay.
So, starting off. First. Yeah. Okay. Starting off, studios that don't want to work on Call of Duty probably have the option to not work on Call of Duty now.
That's a big positive.
Long dormant franchises can probably come back. I don't know about all of them, but Tony Hawk maybe. I don't know. It's so obviously we don't want to leave out the elephant in the room. You know, shit at Blizzard and Activision has hit the fan. Hashtag fire Bobby Kotick. Really, the only positive that I think I can think of is studios being able to do what they want and not always be forced to work on Call of Duty. However, hopefully this improves workplace culture. But besides that, I don't want to say it's negative, right? I have nuanced thoughts on this. I'm not just, oh, this is bad. But really, that's all I can think of as a positive at this time, because who knows what's going to shake out here.
Okay, I will give some positives. The first positive I think is it greatly expands MicroParty's first-party studios lineup. Like, they have a stuff for everybody in terms of, like, they have now people who make the Call of Duty games who be free to make other first-person shooters that could be pretty cool. Like, so instead of, like, hey, Raven, instead of being, like, working on Call of Duty for the 1,000th time, why don't you make another space, maybe like a space shooter or something like that. So it opens up the avenue for more cooler games to come out. I think, by all reports, Activision was in some trouble.
Yeah.
All this workplace harassment stuff has been getting to them and affecting their sales. Maybe not to the grand scale of things, but it was affecting it enough. Then you also add to the fact that they weren't really making anything. Like, only thing they were pretty much making was they were maintaining Warcraft and Call of Duty, essentially, and, you know, Candy Crush and stuff like that. But they weren't really on the forefront of doing anything. They were kind of complacent with everything they were doing. You know, and this is crazy because there was a time where every other month you see another Activision game come out, whether it was a licensed game or something like, whether you had like a Crash game or you had like a Transformers game or a Spider-Man licensed game or something like that. Activision at one point was the king of licensed games, and they kind of just stopped doing that and just became a Call of Duty company. Yeah. So I think it'll be good that we can see those studios work on things besides Call of Duty. Like you said, I think that's very important. I feel like if Xbox or somebody for that matter wouldn't have bought Activision, somebody else would have, and it may have been somebody that we didn't want to buy Activision, like maybe Tencent, for example. I know people are very wary of Tencent, so I like the fact that Microsoft is going to be, is American-owned company, is going to own Activision, so that's dope, and you don't have to worry about the shadiness of Tencent, because I know people, a lot of people are worried about that company. And once Activision got on the market, quote unquote, you're going to have companies like that with unlimited amount of money that's going to try to throw their money around and buy games like that. And we don't know what they'll do with it. We know what Microsoft is going to do with these games.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not is another question. But besides, like you said, I'll go back to what you said about the workplace culture. It's perceived that Microsoft has the better workplace culture than Activision does by a lot. So we're hoping that those problems that they've had in the past will go away. Bobby Kotick's probably going to be gone.
Yeah, so it should be noted, just to piggyback off what Delvin's saying here, employees have come out and said they're worried about layoffs. They're worried that the culture is not going to change, stuff like that. The other thing, this deal is not final yet. It's expected to be completed sometime next year. However, in the meantime, should be noted, QA developers at Raven Software have unionized and have asked Activision Blizzard to recognize them, and there's been no response yet. So,
well, we might as well talk about that since you brought it up. What Haley's referring to, there's an Inverse article. There's an article several places that you can go check out if you want to. There, a lot of Activision employees are worried they're going to be lost in the shuffle of this big deal. This deal is going down and stuff like that. And let me see what it says. Both on social media and in conversation with Inverse, Activision QA workers expressed disappointment with the controversial CEOs. Bobby Kotick will remain in position at least until the deal closes sometime in 2023. Kotick could personally take home $375 million from the deal, even if he's asked to leave the company immediately after it's finalized. It would be a lot easier to be excited if Bobby Kotick was stepping down, says a Raven software QA worker who spoke on the condition of anomaly during this ongoing strike. The deal, I'm quite sure, and this is the thing about this, to touch on this. People who are Xbox fans are excited. I'm quite sure they're excited. They're trying to look for the bright thing about this deal because it's a huge deal.
Yeah, it is.
But with all deals, especially deals like this, there's going to be some turnover.
Yep.
Whether you believe it or not. Not all these studios that they've signed, they might not keep all these studios. There's a possibility they will, possibility they won't. But a lot of these studios, frankly speaking, weren't doing anything.
They were just working on Call of Duty.
Yeah. So I know people are like, oh, they didn't pay $70 million to buy all these studios to not get rid of to not use these studios. They paid the $70 million because they wanted Call of Duty, Candy Crush, and all these major games. And Warcraft, essentially. That's worth it alone. These other studios, they could probably find something to do with them. But if Microsoft can't figure out what they want to do with all these studios, because there's a lot of studios, they're going to start shuttering down things to mitigate cost. Because they can't just have studios sitting there doing nothing or just working on Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft's going to, it's going to be some hard decisions there in terms of like, hey, what do we keep? What do we don't keep? How are we going to kind of mitigate our cost and raise our profits as much as possible? Because we spent a lot of money on this. And we want to see a return on investment in this project. And I think a lot of people know, a lot of people who work for Activision knows that, hey, not all of us are going to make it through this.
Yeah.
Microsoft is going to make things, probably going to make things better. But not all of us are going to make it through this transaction. Some of us are going to have to look for some new jobs. And like you said, it brings up concerns, the fact that you said the people on strike are trying to reach out to Microsoft. That's what you're saying?
No. So it came out on Friday that workers at Raven QA, that's quality assurance for anyone who's not familiar, have formed the first union at Activision Blizzard. It's a small union of 34 members. They are now waiting to be recognized by the company because, and I'm not totally familiar with the unionization process, but I know they're not official until they're recognized by the company, stuff like that. They were on strike for 5 weeks and the company said nothing. As soon as they voted to unionize, the company says something, but they've been ignored elsewise. Like they haven't, like the strike didn't generate any response from the company, things like that. So it's interesting. That's how things have gone so far in that front. I will say, can gamers stop looking at the industry as like fantasy football? And I don't mean fantasy game critic, because obviously people in the PSBG Discord know there's a group of us that do that. I am not talking about that. I am talking about, can we not talk about acquisitions like this, like they're fantasy football? Because the response I've seen to this is, who should Sony buy? The answer is no one.
Well,
because
let me get to that right now since you brought it up. I think, not to cut you off, but this is hard because I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I think they're going to have to buy somebody. And it's unfortunate because, and this is why, it sucks to say this, but if this was a smaller company, I'd be like, it doesn't matter. But when Microsoft does this 2 years in a row, you gotta kind of, if you're on the side of Sony, you gotta kind of look at this thing like, hold on. We can't just let them buy up all the market share. You know what I mean? So they have to kind of at some point say, you know what? We're gonna take this company so we know we have bargaining chips in terms of, because right now, Microsoft owns Activision. And yes, there are contracts and deals in place that prevents them from making calls. Because I know this was the conversation for multiple days about them, Microsoft making Call of Duty console exclusive. They can't do that right now.
No, because like we said, they don't actually own them until the deal closes.
Even when the deal closes, They won't be able to do that because I think there's already, unless they work negotiate deals on those contracts that Sony already have in place for Call of Duty, in terms of like, you know, they like, you know, Sony's been doing exclusive deals for Call of Duty forever. You have to get that just
2015, yes.
Yeah. You have to get those things out the way first before you be like, okay, we're gonna just take it off the system and make it console exclusive only. So and I'm quite sure those deals were made way in advance. It's not like they make them like, hey, a new year, let's make a new deal for Call of Duty. No, they make those things in advance. And so that stuff will have to get situated out first. That's why you're hearing all the reports of Sony saying, like, no, we trust that Microsoft will honor our agreements because Sony knows that they have agreements with Activision that Microsoft's going to have to honor or they're going to get sued.
Well, no, they could buy them out of the contract. That's another option, but I don't know that they would do that. My main point with the fantasy football comment is all this week I've seen people going, Sony should buy Square Enix. Sony should do this. And then I see other people go, well, they can't afford to. They could get market capital. Like, that business loans are a thing.
And also, let's be clear. Sony can afford to. Sony, I know people look at Sony Games and say that, but Sony is a big company. They have a lot of money. They can afford to buy some of this stuff. Not to the level of Microsoft does, but they could buy something.
The thing that I'm saying is, like I've mentioned numerous times before, I am not a fan of the consolidation that seems to be happening in the industry. Again, it was mentioned that Bethesda may not have survived if Xbox did not purchase them.
Yes.
Understandable. However, Xbox has now gone, and as you, this is a funny statement that I just need to repeat, as you've mentioned, to put their proverbial dick on the table and said, hey, we're buying Activision Blizzard. I don't know that we want all studios to be owned by the big three companies. Now,
we definitely don't.
Let it be known, it's kind of come out that Phil's done this to prevent like Google and others from entering the space. But I don't know. Here's my thoughts. Like, yeah, the possibilities here for like long dormant Activision franchises to come back, benefits for like the employees to work on something new, stuff like that. Great. You're bolstering up Game Pass. Great. But as Dev mentioned earlier in the week in the Discord, Phil keeps saying he's not doing this to prevent other gamers from to take games away from people. But you can't keep saying that and then buy all the studios.
This is the thing about that comment. As a CEO of a big company, you have to say that.
Yeah, I know.
But at the same time, he's not buying these companies not to make money.
Correct.
So,
and as just to chime in here, as mentioned with Bethesda, you don't spend nearly $70 billion to not make the games exclusive.
Yes. And I think in terms of Activision, there's going to be some exclusive games. There are going to be games that people don't want to be exclusive. That's going to be, I don't think Call of Duty is going to be one of them, to be clear.
So here's my thing. I think it is, as noted, that Phil came out, said he had a great conversation with Sony earlier this week about his desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. I'm feeling like that comment, that tweet was only made because of the dip to Sony's stock price. Because as soon as that tweet went out, Sony's stock price went back up.
Yeah. I think this is why I say I don't think it's going to go exclusive. Call of Duty sells a lot of copies. A shitload. So why, if you're Microsoft, let's say you want to put Call of Duty on Game Pass. Yeah, that's going to bring up your Game Pass numbers a lot. But why would you leave all that money on the table of, hey,
I mean,
in terms of, okay, everybody's getting Game Pass now. to get Call of Duty. That's awesome. That's great. That's cool. On the flip side, all those PlayStation people who buy Call of Duty who don't want to get Game Pass, who would pay $70 for Call of Duty every time. Why would you leave that money on the table? That's a lot of money to leave on the table.
The same could be said for Bethesda games, though.
Not to this level, though. Not to this level.
The Elder Scrolls would like to have a word with you.
I think so, but not to this level. Not to this extreme level. Call of Duty is number one every year. Even if people hate the Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
Every year. But that Elder Scrolls, it sells a lot, but it's not every year.
No, but that's because Bethesda doesn't release the Elder Scrolls or Fallout every year. But that comment, like, they're leaving money off the table. The same could be said for the Bethesda stuff. But again, you don't spend this kind of money to not make the games exclusive. Now, let's address the elephant in the room that several people have brought up this week, including Jeff Grubb, who you had a wonderful conversation with. This week on the PSVG show, as well as Greg Miller and others, who possibly see this as Microsoft trying to strong arm PlayStation into putting Game Pass on the console. Because again, Phil has made the comment that these games will be exclusive to platforms where Game Pass exists. Here's the thing. I would love nothing more than Game Pass to come to PlayStation and Sony. I know I'm not the only one. Donnie has even been out there saying that he would love nothing more than for this to happen.
Donnie wants Game Pass on toasters. He wants it on anything it can go on.
I mean, again, there is a GIF out there that says, I got Game Pass because of Donnie Reese. Like,
yes.
I don't think anyone doesn't know how big of a champion for Game Pass Donnie Reese is. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great service.
Yes, it like, is. He wants it on Switch. He wants it on Ouya. He wants it on Atari 2600. He wants it on the Sega Dreamcast. He wants Game Pass on everything.
Which is fine.
Yes.
And I think it's an eventuality. However, I don't know that this is going to work. I would love to be wrong. I would love for Game Pass to just come to PlayStation, come to Nintendo, right? It's already on PC. You know, it would be fun. It would be great for everyone. But I don't know how that would work logistically. Jeff Grubb has made several comments, including that maybe it's just first party titles, but then others make the comment of like, why get an Xbox? To which, again, Microsoft has said they don't care about console sales. They care about Game Pass numbers. Like, there's a reason they don't tell you how many Xboxes have sold now. It's all about Game Pass, which is,
This is my thing about that. If I'm Sony and I'm actively making a competitor to Game Pass, why would I want Game Pass on my system?
But are they? Because again, I brought this comment up in the Discord. What if it's all been a smokescreen? What if behind the scenes, Spartacus has been a conversation with Microsoft to have Game Pass?
That would be cool. Now, if that was the conversation, that's a completely different story. That changed the narrative. But if I'm making my own version
and
of Game Pass.
Before we go any further here, let me just state that is highly unlikely. I definitely think that Spartacus is its own thing. I'm just saying that, like, that would be a game changer for the entire industry. Because again, as much as I'm not a fan of like games going towards streaming all the time, this is the future. So
yes, it's like, I know people say, oh, but you have Netflix and Hulu. Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, and all those things. Yeah, but there's a big difference. You don't have a Netflix box. You don't have a Netflix TV that has Hulu on it.
I mean, yeah, you do. Your TV is a Netflix box.
It's not a TV that's like made by Netflix.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The PlayStation is made by Sony, so they want to promote Sony products. And they're going to have, whatever it's called, Spartacus, codename Spartacus, and Game Pass on there. It's like, And then you look at the lineups for Spartacus, because the rumor is that Spartacus is going to have first-party games on there, but it's not going to be like day and date. Only certain games, things like that.
Yeah.
So you kind of look at Spartacus, like, hey, here goes Spartacus. Or you can pay for Game Pass. And now everybody keeps saying, like, oh, we just buy them all. Not everybody has all the money to own all of the platforms.
Yeah.
No, not everybody can afford Netflix, Hulu. Then you add Game Pass. Then you add PlayStation Plus. Then you add Spartacus. Then you add everything that's under the sun. Yeah, there are some people who can afford it, but not everybody can afford that. They only afford, like, for example, me. I have almost all of them, except in terms of like the digital services for like TV and stuff, except Apple TV, because I'm like, I'm not paying another $10 a month for another service, especially when you consider.
Hey. Apple TV is literally $5 a month, my man.
I don't care.
Also, the PlayStation literally has an advertisement. If you download Apple TV, they will give you 6 months for free. I have had Apple TV for 2 years. You know how much I paid?
How much? Okay, so you're saying I need to scam the system so I can get it for free?
No, not at all. So when I bought my phone, my Apple phone, it came with a year of Apple TV. I bought this in 2019. In literally a week before I was supposed to start paying, I got an email from Apple going, hey, we've increased your free time to... sometime in 2021. And then PlayStation gave me 6 free months in 2021, which, because that deal's good for new or existing members.
Okay.
They gave me 6 free months, and I'm chock full till March. I have not paid for Apple TV at all. They have some fantastic content, though. And if they're going to offer you 6 free months, take it.
Okay, I'll do that. But to add on to that, there's all these services that I own. I can't watch everything on all those services. So I'm just, at some point in time, you're looking like, I'm wasting fucking money.
I mean, at this point, yeah, let's be honest here. Hi, I haven't watched The Witcher Season 2 yet. There's so much content.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you kind of can say the same thing for stuff like all these gaming services. It's getting to that point where you're spending more money than you're actually using in terms of, like, okay, you got Game Pass. Game Pass is awesome, great. I have Game Pass. I use Game Pass sometimes, but there are months where I don't use Game Pass. Then you have PlayStation Plus. PlayStation Plus is hit or miss. There are months I use it, months I don't use it. And these companies know that. They know that, hey, you're not going to use this all the time. But what we want to do is we want to keep you paying for it over and over again. And let's bring it back to the Activision deal. Game Pass's price is going to go up.
It will, yeah. It's I don't think it'll go up as much. I don't think it will. I think it'll go up maybe $3 or $5. That's about it.
I think it's going to end up, I think by the end of it, it'll probably be $20 a month.
Absolutely not. I think that's $240 a year.
I think it'll get that. I think it'll get that high. I think it 100% will. Especially when you add in all the Activision stuff, then they probably can make it out so you can, they may add in a Warcraft subscription and things like that. And I think I can easily see it because Netflix is almost $20 a month now.
Hi, I pay $21 a month for Netflix.
See? So
okay, but again, I'm in Canada, so
I can if Netflix could be that high, and Netflix in terms of amount of content they have has decreased a lot.
Yeah.
They have nowhere near as much stuff or the value that they had at one point in time.
I mean, I use Amazon Prime more than I do Netflix, and that's like because they've got Supernatural, Smallville, The Vampire Diaries. They've got my nerd shit, okay? Yeah.
And that's my point. Like, at Netflix has lost stuff, and they're still charging more money. So I can easily see Microsoft going up in price for certain with Game Pass, especially when they're adding companies like Activision and Blizzard and things like that. It's a lot. And it's a good value. Even at $20 a month, it's still a good fucking value.
Yeah, see, here's my thing, though. I don't think the regular Game Pass subscription will go to $20 a month. I think that will go to $15. I think Game Pass Ultimate, $20, sure. But I don't think it'll be a straight increase, though. I think it will be gradual, like the way Netflix does it, they do it gradual. Because Netflix didn't go like, so the entire time I've had Netflix, and I do mean my own Netflix account, not my dad's when I lived with him. The entire time I've had my personal Netflix account, I've had the 4K plan where like I get four screens, which is why I buy it, because let's be honest, streaming 4K sometimes isn't great, but like that price has gradually increased. When I bought that plan, it was $12.99.
Yeah.
And then it increased and now it's up to $20. But I don't know. As much as people say that Netflix doesn't make great content, they do though, because like The Witcher's great, Umbrella Academy is great. I haven't personally watched Stranger Things, but I know people love that. Like, they've got content that people enjoy.
Yes, they're just, they do.
They're losing out on things. Now, not so much in other regions, though, because they'll lose that content there. But, like, here, Peacock doesn't exist, so The Office is still on Netflix.
Ah, see, that's the difference.
And this is my favorite part, by the way. We don't have HBO Max here, right? We have Crave TV, which is essentially where all HBO content goes, but we never got the 30-day releases. So, like, Matrix Resurrections, I haven't seen it yet because it didn't release for 30 days free with my Crave subscription, but I'm using this as an example. The DC content that HBO Max makes gets split up. Like, if I use Crave, I can watch Doom Patrol, great show, by the way, and I can watch Peacemaker, which just came out, which I haven't started yet. I've heard it's great. But I can watch that. But if I want to watch Titans, which I love, despite the fact that it makes some very interesting choices, I will say, I have to go to Netflix to watch that. You know what I can't watch here that I want to watch and I've not seen a single episode of?
What?
The Harley Quinn show.
Yeah.
This is great. It's not available here on any of the streaming services. I have to buy that if I want to watch it.
Yikes. And that goes back to bringing it back to that Xbox thing. It's just like,
yeah,
it's so much little details when it comes to streaming that we just don't know yet because it's uncharted territory. And kudos to Microsoft for going in head first with it and kind of like, hey, this is going to be our thing. And they're kind of like stopping other companies from doing it by like saying, no, you can't have this.
Yeah,
Game Pass is our thing. This is our market share. And like they were saying, like they're probably buying it so Google can't get in the gaming space.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
At the same time, is it hurting gaming itself? Because when I look at this type of situations, anytime I see a company buy another company, I always, because this is my mind, I always think of when WWE bought WCW. Because WWE and WCW were the two biggest wrestling companies in the world. Best way to describe it was kind of like Sony and Microsoft. WCW started doing bad, like really bad. And they got to the point where they wanted to sell. That's not important and not like that. WWE bought WCW. And people were excited because they felt like, oh, WWE bought WCW, so all WCW's talent's going to be on WWE's TV. So we were all hyped. Yay! We're going to get Goldberg. We're going to get Sting. We're going to get all these great wrestlers. That didn't happen.
No.
What happened was a lot of those wrestlers just didn't work for WWE. And then what we got was a homogenized product. And because WWE didn't have any competition, their product got terrible.
It did. And now, and look, before people go, huh? Haley knows about this? No, I don't. I don't watch wrestling at all. However, I am aware of what's happened and the fact that WWE's content sucks so much that CM Punk now works for AEW.
Exactly. So anytime I hear it with gaming, I get worried that, okay, if Microsoft, this is high on the pie, crazy conspiracy theory hat stuff, buys all the major companies except like Sony and Nintendo, of course, they control the market. They can kind of dictate what goes on in gaming. And I don't want any company to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because they can, like I say, they can like change the prices. Okay. Game Pass at one point, let's say it gets to $20. Now Game Pass is $50. Yeah, maybe we don't like this thing about gaming. Maybe we want to do streaming only. So now y'all do streaming only. The thing that I like about video games now is the fact that we have choice in terms of what companies we want to support, what companies we don't want to support. And I feel like if one company owns everything, we lose that choice and we lose the ability to be like, well, this is a shitty company. We don't want to support this company. And what I mean by that is, if Microsoft owns everything,
mm-hmm.
and then we start finding about the shitty practices that Microsoft is doing, it's not like, well, I guess I just won't play Microsoft games. It doesn't, no, because Microsoft owns everything. So either you just don't play games or you just have to deal with what they're doing. I feel like we don't. While I feel like them owning Activision isn't the end of the world, especially for PlayStation gamers. PlayStation gamers are making too much of a big deal out of it. If you look at the realistic levels of it, the biggest thing that PlayStation gamers would lose is Call of Duty.
Yeah, and again, let me be clear: we don't know how this is going to shake out. Like we don't.
Yes,
we really don't. We won't know until next year. This isn't an all bad situation.
Probably won't even know next year. Be honest with you.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm not a fan of the consolidation. I think this can be great in some ways, but we won't know the consequences until the deal shakes out. However, again, I just want to say, like, if we get to a point where there's no exclusives anymore, or some people I've seen speculators that this is Microsoft gearing up to leave the the hardware space and just be a software developer. It's possible that's what's going to happen. We don't know. Again, it's going to take time to figure out. Honestly, though, like if this gets to a point, because I've seen some speculation that Phil's tweet maybe means that he's had that PlayStation's going to want to make some deals with Xbox. If that ends the way people are speculating, that's like, oh, we want exclusives from PlayStation on Xbox. I don't care. Do it. Because, again, gaming is supposed to be fun. Let people play the games. I know that's not how businesses work. It's been brought up every time I've mentioned this. I'm aware. I'm just saying if that's how this eventually shakes out, let it happen. And all the fanboys who get mad, I'm going to direct to Paris Lilly's tweet from, I think, 2 years ago at this point, where he literally has copies of PS4 games. He goes, can't wait to play this on PC. Toss it aside. Same thing, right? Like, who cares? The more gamers that can play the game, the more people that get to have fun. Like,
yeah. I don't think it's going to be that. I just think that Microsoft knows that, hey, there's contracts in place right now that we can't talk about and we can't do nothing about. Maybe not even till 2023, maybe later, because Sony already has deals in place with that stuff. So,
yeah.
And also, I think Microsoft's going to look at the bottom line. It doesn't make sense for them to make certain games exclusive. Like, Warcraft, for example, doesn't matter because Warcraft is not on any console.
No, it's
Candy
not.
Crush, same thing. So those
it's
two
on big, mobile only.
Yeah, so those two big platforms right there, automatically it's off the table. Like I said, the whole big deal that everybody's kind of worried about is Call of Duty itself. And Microsoft and Sony have to sit down and say, like, hey, people are thinking like, oh, we're probably gonna get God of War on Xbox. I don't think it's even that deep. What I think it is, they're gonna look at it like, hey, if you're Microsoft, how can we make money off of Sony with the least amount of money from us being lost? You get what I'm saying?
I do.
And if you're Sony, they're looking at it like, hey, if Microsoft takes away Call of Duty, we lose all of that profit. We need to get at least some of that profit. So maybe we don't make the big oodles and boodles amount of money we made with Call of Duty before, but something is better than nothing.
Yeah. And again, I don't know. We'll see how this shakes out. I see people speculating that this means, oh, SOCOM or Resistance or Killzone is going to come back. Not likely. Let's be honest. I'm sorry.
And I'm going to keep it 100. You motherfuckers didn't play the games when they were there.
Yep.
So why would you play it now?
Also, because it was, you know, it's kind of the nature that people are saying Sony needs an FPS to do this. Do they, though? Because no. Sony nails what they're doing right now. Like, again, to mention that, like, people are making too big of a deal out of this. If Phil hadn't tweeted his comment, as soon as Horizon is out in 3 weeks, the stock price would have jumped.
Yes.
And then 2 weeks after Horizon, you've got Gran Turismo 7. And despite the fact that some people think it won't come out this year, which it still might not, like, let's be honest, we don't know. COVID delays are still a thing. But it's quite possible Sony could actually get God of War out this year. Yeah. And on top of that, this one, I think, despite the fact that it's still rumored, quote unquote, there's also the Last of Us remake, which is also nearing completion, and the director's cut for Last of Us 2. That's all going to come this year. And I think Sony's going to be fine.
Yeah, they're gonna be fine regardless because Sony's cachet is their exclusives.
It is, and it's also I see people going, well, all Sony does is third person action adventure games. I'm like, and y'all keep buying them, so like, what do you like? This is what they're good at. Like, they're very good at it. It's gonna be fine. Not to mention, like, okay. Let's say that Call of Duty, which I think is probably what's going to happen after the deal runs out, is Call of Duty's exclusive. Okay, so maybe PlayStation makes a first-person shooter game. Okay. Is it going to have multiplayer? Because that's what people care about when it comes to those. Like, if it doesn't, it's dead in the water, let's be honest.
Are you going to buy it?
Yeah.
To an extreme degree, yes. Because
here's the other thing, and I'm using Ghosts of Tsushima here as a ringing. Sony seems to be doing this thing where they release a single player game and then release a co-op mode for it later down the line. And that co-op mode just skyrockets in like player engagement. Like Ghosts did it. People are speculating that Horizon's going to do it, which kind of seems like, yeah, maybe. I could see it happening for God of War as well. Like,
yeah, I think it's smart to do that, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's smart to release this epic single-player game. Everybody gets really into it, and everybody's talking about it for a couple of months and things like that, how much they love it. And then 6 months down the line, oh, here's a multiplayer for that single-player that you'll like just as much. And then people, that brings the conversation back up to the game, and people start buying the game again. It's dope. It's smart. Double dipping.
Yeah. And again, I mentioned it earlier in the show, but like I neglected to mention, not only that, Sony has a game coming out on Friday. Like,
yeah,
like they're going to do fine. Like, I don't know.
This is not the end of the world.
No.
That's the main thing. This is not the end of the world for gaming or anything like that. I do not want, I hope this is the last big purchase for Microsoft. I don't think it will be.
It won't be. They've already mentioned they're not done. So,
like I said, this is kind of like a.
And before people go, but what if the FCC knocks this down? They're not going.
They're not going to. Because there's too many gaming companies out there, so it would never be considered a monopoly.
No, and again, like Donnie brought this up, and he's right. Like Xbox is still in third. Like Sony is first. Like, I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong on that. They might be second. But either way, Microsoft is third. Like, they're...
It's too much stuff out there. Like, you have Tencent and all the stuff they bought. Microsoft would have to buy a lot of stuff to be considered a monopoly.
And again, they could, but I don't know. It to end this on, like, a who knows point here, because I know we've got questions we need to answer as well. They're not done, but at this point, I don't know if they're going to keep buying like massive publishers. They may just buy Cinque Studios. Who knows? As for Sony, I'm sure they'll buy someone or make deals with them. They already have. But we won't know until this all shakes out.
Yeah. I hope it shakes out for the best. I hope, like I say, I want, in an ideal world, I would like Sony to buy a company that's big enough to make Microsoft say, you know what, we got to come to the table to negotiate so we don't have anybody without exclusives. I'll give you a good example. I'm putting this in the air, but I don't think this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Let's say Sony buys EA.
Okay.
Then it gets to the point where, okay, Microsoft wants Madden. Yeah. They want Madden. They want the EA property. They want the Mass Effect and things like that. So they would have to come to the negotiating table like Sony, like, hey, all right, you don't make your games exclusive, we won't make our games exclusive. So we both can make money. Because right now, it's kind of like, we don't have to listen to you guys because we own everything.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see where this shakes out. And before anyone brings up, Sony doesn't have the capital. They do. They if they don't have it physically, they can get it. Like, people keep mentioning, well, PlayStation can't really. Yeah, they can. And they will if they need to. I don't want them to. But if it has to, it will. I keep seeing Square Enix brought up as a likely marker. Who knows? I keep seeing, people mentioning like maybe Microsoft should buy WB Games, or I don't want it to happen, but Sony could do it. Like, who knows? It's an interesting market, and we won't see how it shakes out till it shakes out. Keeping in mind, again, this stuff is obviously going to get under scrutiny, but it's going to go through.
And also, to be clear, if the shoe was on the other foot, I would have the same opinions.
Yeah,
if Sony was doing this shit, I'd be the exact same way.
Yeah, I would have the exact same opinion if Sony was doing it. Like, obviously, this is a PlayStation podcast, but if we were an Xbox podcast and talking about Sony having done it, I'd have the same opinion.
And also, to keep it real, if Sony was doing it, we wouldn't be questioning if it was going to be exclusive or not. We know it would be exclusive.
Yeah.
We know for a fact Sony were like, oh, no, this is exclusive. This is ours. Because that's how they move.
It is.
So the fact that we're having a conversation like, will this be exclusive or will it not be exclusive, kind of speaks highly on Microsoft, because we don't know. We know for a fact what Sony's going to do when it comes to that type of stuff. We don't know on Microsoft.
So also, before it gets brought up, you should note that for Final Fantasy 16, Sony didn't pay to make that exclusive. That was a Square Enix decision before it gets brought up in regards to this. That was Square Enix on their own.
I can see why they did that.
I know. So can a lot of people, because let's be real here. Final Fantasy did not sell on the Xbox. It didn't. Yeah. Like
a lot of Japanese RPG games don't sell on Xbox. Unfortunately. That market is something that Xbox just doesn't tap into. I don't know why.
I don't know either. They're the same consoles, essentially.
Yeah, but it just don't tap into that market. So, we got a lot of questions.
We do.
So, let's get right to them. Mixed Media Forest asked, when is PlayStation going to get its own form of Game Pass? We touched on this a little bit, Haley. So, when do you think Spartacus will be unveiled?
Well, let me tell you what I don't think it is, because it was posted in the Discord yesterday. The tweet from the PlayStation Japan account that has 123 in it. That's certainly not an announcement for that at all, because that tweet literally said what it was, which is for a music video that was releasing on the 23rd of January. In Japan, when they tweeted it, it was January 23rd. I think we'll hear about it soon, because Schreier did some good reporting and said that its reveal was coming in spring. We're itching up on spring real quick. I think we'll start hearing about it soon. Before it gets brought up that all those games are being spotted with PS3 games are being spotted with prices, that's just pulling from PS Now when you used to be able to rent games individually. The Prince of Persia game for $17.99, that was a 90-day rental price. Yeah, it did. But I don't have a date. I think we'll hear about it. We could even hear about it next month. And by next month, I mean February. But before then, I don't know. We're still waiting to hear when the Discord integration is going to go live. Although I know it's being tested right now because Discord's backend leaked. So
I'm going to give a more precise answer. I'm going to say we hear about it in February. It's released summer of 2022. So I'm going to say February, middle of February, we'll hear about it. Hey, we're working on this thing. It's coming out summer 2022. And they got to name some big game that's going to be on it in summer.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Next question from my boy Adam Simmons. He says he's fucking heartbroken that he has to buy Xbox to play the next Elder Scrolls. Do they make PS5 shaped controllers for Xbox?
Yeah.
I think they do. Yeah. They do have off-brand controllers that look like PS5 controllers for Xbox. I've seen them before.
And they also do the reverse. You can get controllers for the PlayStation. I don't know if they have any for PS5 yet, but I know you can get them for PS4 where they're shaped like Xbox controller. So they definitely make those options. But also, you got time. Elder Scrolls 6 is not coming out until 2026 at the earliest.
Yeah. Also, you can buy a Series S. That'll save you some money. Series S is a great console.
It is. Just keeping in mind, though, that that's got a smaller hard drive than the X.
Yeah, it does. But like I said, for $300, it's well worth it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a PlayStation gamer who doesn't really want to play on the Xbox, but you kind of have certain games, you can go two routes. You can go the PC route and get Game Pass on PC, which will work. Or if you want a console, just get the Series S. That's a great console. It's a fantastic console, cheap price. If you worry about the hard drive space, buy an expansion slot. By the time Elder Scrolls comes out, that expansion slot's probably going to be cheaper anyway. So do that.
Yeah. I mean, the expansion card goes on sale all the time now, too. So
yeah, definitely. Our next question is from Kate from the Ignorant is Bliss podcast. She says, okay, you only get to play old school games, pre-1990s. What do you choose? We'll go with that question first, Haley. So you got to play a pre-1990s video game. What game are you picking? That's before you were even born.
Yeah, I was born in 95, so...
My answer is always Gallagher. Gallagher, I'm going to play that one. That's one of my favorite games of all time. So that one I play a lot of. I play Jungle Hut because I love Jungle Hut.
What about Pong? I don't know.
That's the game you pick, Pong?
I don't know any others from before 1990.
You don't know any games before 1990?
I don't know. Did any of the Mortal Kombat come before 1990? I don't know.
No. Oh, Haley. Pac-Man. Gallagher, Dig Dug. I want to say the first Mario Brothers was before 1990. Super Mario Brothers was before 1990. Oh my God. This is embarrassing.
Since this is an audio only podcast now, I'm raising my hands I don't know. So.
Oh my God, Haley. All right. Her next question was, what games can you recognize fastest based solely on the theme music or sound effects? So what game can you recognize off the theme music or the sound effects, Haley?
I can name a couple. Uncharted, Last of Us. One.
That's a good one.
Crash.
Those are good ones. Street Fighter for me. Mortal Kombat, of course. Gallagher, Pac-Man, Waka 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 Waka. I can. Anytime I hear that, I think of arcades. There's a few other ones I can think of.
You ever play the 3D Pac-Man games?
Yeah, I played Is it Super Pac-Man that's 3D?
No, I'm talking like the... They had like the hub world where like you would walk along a path, you'd pick a level and you'd go through it.
You're talking about the actual like 3D thing? No, I have not played that. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about though, right? Like yeah. The one that's like Pac-Man's in like a little village and...
Is that Pac-Land?
I don't know what that is. I remember it because my mom used to play it all the time.
If it's about the one in the village, that's Pac-Land. Where you have, it's a side scroller. You have to jump on the and get the pellets and stuff like that.
No, it's not a side scroller. Like it's an actual three. Hold on.
Pac-Man's had a lot of games. A lot of them are not good. If it's not like the regular Pac-Man type game or Miss Pac-Man or Baby Pac-Man or Super Pac-Man, a lot of those side scroller 3D games when they try to make Pac-Man like Mario aren't good. Haley's looking up.
Oh, Pac-Man World.
I think I have played that. That's not that old.
That's from GameCube.
I think I may have played that briefly. Like I said, it's one of those games. Like I said, when they tried to make Pac-Man this open world 3D, yeah, he was like, you might want to stick to what you know. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of those. So let me see our next. We have another question from Kate from the Ignorantist Bliss podcast. Which old school game should be redone with modern tech / effects? Now, Haley, you can answer this one because it's just any old school game. So,
I mean, game would you like to be? The answer I would have to this question's already been done, though.
Well, pick something else. And what was the answer you would have had?
I would have said Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, but that's okay. Already been done. I don't know. Maybe the old Tomb Raider games?
That would be cool. Like the remake the first Tomb Raider. I think that'll be cool and interesting. Not like the reboot Tomb Raider.
No, I'm talking like Tomb Raider from PS1.
Yeah, remake it with modern technology and graphics and things like that. That'd be pretty interesting. There was a game. You've heard this game. It was on, I want to say it was on 3DO or something like that, called Alone in the Dark.
Yes.
They remade it for PS3, which I actually like. A lot of people didn't like it, but I like
it. I didn't play it. Is that the one where you had like the little blade that you threw or?
It was something like that. It's the one for PS3 was, you kind of had like this hub world that you travel around with and you have to like kill these like zombie type monsters. It was a lot of fun. I would like the Alone in the Dark games that were for, I want to say 3DO to be remade. Those were pretty fun. Or, what's another good old school game? Remake Super Mario 3. Straight up remake it. Remake it in the style of New Super Mario World. Just straight up, here's Super Mario 3 remade. Make it look pretty. I would love that. Our next question, because we have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I know Haley's not going to be able to answer this question. This is from Sin. She asks, who could play all versions of Pitfall and not die repeatedly?
I mean, I played Pitfall, but...
How good are you in it?
I mean, I played the computer version of it, so probably not good.
I was pretty decent at Pitfall. But then again, I played on like Atari 2600, so that doesn't count. She also asked, let's discuss Sonic. He's a cool character. I like Sonic.
What about Sonic? Are we talking like the new Sonic movie, the old Sonic Unleashed TV show?
Just in general.
The Fox TV, like kids TV.
He likes chili Sonic dogs.
Sonic show.
He's the fastest thing alive, as the song said. That was a great theme song, by the way.
What about him though? Because like I haven't seen the Sonic movie, and don't crucify me. I plan to. Movie. I've heard it's good. But I haven't really played a Sonic game. The only Sonic game I've ever played has been Shadow the Hedgehog.
I wouldn't call that a Sonic game. I would barely even call that a game. But, yeah. Her next thing is, Why do I still obsess over Parasite Eve? That game still gets me mentally. I love Parasite Eve. That is a game, matter of fact, to go back to the previous question, that I want remade. Parasite Eve. Fantastic game. Great story. Why haven't they done anything with that franchise? I love Parasite Eve.
I don't know. I've never played it, so I don't know what the big deal is.
It's so good. It's a Square Enix RPG horror game. That's the best way you describe it. You play as this cop whose name is Eve, and you have to go. It's like a complicated plot, but you go into like these areas where you have to fight these like these monsters and things like that. And it has like RPG mechanics, like a Final Fantasy and stuff like that. But the story is really, really good. And the gameplay is really good. It's so good. It's such a good game. They should remaster that. They should remake that. It's so much fun. Okay, next question from John32 on the Discord. He said he would love to hear what your thoughts are on the ideal 2022 gaming year would look like. What does PlayStation have to do to deliver the ideal year? So I'll let you go first, Haley. What does PlayStation have to do in gaming in general have to do to bring up the ideal year of gaming for 2022 for you?
Okay, so let me just, are we giving this question two answers, like an ideal 2022 gaming year and then like a Sony specific answer? Or is it just Sony specific in general?
I say ideal 2022 and what Sony has to do to make their year work for that.
Okay. So for me, ideal 2022 gaming year is we get Gotham Knights this year. We get God of War this year. We get a full trailer because it won't release this year. I know it won't, but we get a full trailer for what the Skate revival is. We get some great games. Sony reveals what their Game Pass competitor is, and you know, that's what I think an ideal year is. For Sony specifically, honestly, communicate more, but that's not going to happen. Sony specifically, I think they'll, for them to have an ideal year, at least for me, Horizon goes off without a hitch. That Last of Us remake is, well, we know it's real, but like it's revealed, it comes out, that's great. They've got TV show and movie stuff coming out this year, too. I think I'm less concerned about the Uncharted movie, but like the HBO show comes out and it does well. I think that's what they need to do.
Okay, I like your answers. I'm going to say an ideal gaming year for me would be every month this year, there's a game that's so good that you absolutely have to play it. At least one. Like, let's say February. February is probably Dying Light.
I mean, February is...
It's going to be a lot in February.
So here's my thing. February, you can kind of take out of the equation because February kind of has something for everybody.
Yes.
But as the year goes on, I hope you're right.
Yes. Just every month is like, okay, I got to get this game. This game's going to be awesome. Every month we have something to play. That's ideal gaming for me. In terms of Sony, I would like to say everything that we think is supposed to come out for Sony comes out without a hitch. Like, you know, even God of War. Like, God of War's end of the year. Great, we love it. Horizon's great, we love it. The Uncharted Collection was coming out, it's great, we love it. The Last of Us remake's great, we love it. And to add on to that, one, PS5 consoles are on the shelves. Completely, so everybody can get their own PS5 without a problem.
Yeah, but
that's a big one.
That's out of their control, though.
Yeah, but that's ideally I want that lightning to be on shelves. And to add on to that, we get at the end of the year, this is my pie in the sky thing, PlayStation VR 2. like, hey, here's PlayStation VR 2. All your previous PlayStation VR games are backwards compatible. And we have a killer app for it that works well, like whether it's Spider-Man or something like that. And they got it so it works, so you don't get the motion sickness and stuff like that. That'll be awesome.
Yeah. The thing with me is I'm not very excited for VR because I don't have the space for it. So. Yeah.
Because you live in a Daredevil hallway fight scene place.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Is there any? Oh, we do have one question.
We do have one more question.
Because we already answered Hollywood Bones questions. Yes. So we have one more question from Pastor Lucas Ham Swisher. He said, so I got COVID this past week. Sorry to hear that.
And that shit sucks.
And slight Speaking spoilers.
From experience.
Slight spoilers, which is no surprise for me. He got it from Florida.
I know he did.
Yes. And so he got to spend an extra week in the U.S. Thankfully, I had my Christmas presents, a PS5 and an Xbox Series S with me and lots of time to game. Some people, however, don't like to game while sick. So where do you fall in gaming while sick? You're sick. Is it an excuse to have some more fun, or you feel too blah to enjoy it? So how do you feel about gaming when you're sick, Haley?
So it depends. When I had COVID, I had no energy to play games. I just watched movies and TV. But generally, if I'm like feeling sick and it like I'm not vomiting or whatnot, I'll throw on a game because it's, you know, comforting. So it's what you do. But if I feel any worse than that, I'll usually just throw on a movie or something.
Yeah, I've gotten to that point where I can't game when I'm sick. When I'm sick, I just want to sleep, relax, and not think about it. I usually watch TV. Even when I watch TV, I don't watch stuff that I want to be into. I watch stuff I've already seen because I don't want to. Because 9 times out of 10, when I'm really sick, like when I had COVID, I would just fall asleep and fall in and out of sleep and things like that. So I don't try to get into shows that would drag me into the plot, things like that, because I would obviously fall asleep and miss the whole crucial elements of it. Even with gaming, when I'm playing games, when I'm sick, my eyes start hurting. I start getting a headache. I'm like, nah, I can't do this.
Yeah, you feel the pressure build behind your eyes. And
yeah, I can't do it. I'm glad that there's some people who can do it. But man, having COVID sucks. It really sucks. Even if I'm vaccinated and I had it, it still sucked.
Yeah, I'm vaccinated too, and it still sucked. Like, the only good thing about it is, as someone who doesn't sleep, that's all I fucking did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. And if I felt that bad being vaccinated, I pray that people who aren't vaccinated don't get be okay. Like, it's nothing to play with. Take care of yourself. That's in general. And I'm glad you're okay, Pastor, because it sucks. Glad you had the ability to play games. And more importantly, I'm glad that you may be over it. I'm hoping you're over it. Write back in and let us know if you're over it completely. And if you have any side effects or anything, let us know, because we worry about you. You're a good dude. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah. I'm going to say this every time. Thanks again for the questions, people, especially now that we're back on free feeds. Love to answer.
Yeah, so. We got a lot of questions. That's great. So, anything we got to say or do before we go, Haley?
Just again, to reiterate, I did apply for a review code for Dying Light 2. I don't know if I'm going to get one. If I don't, there will be coverage from us regardless. Yes. It just means that you won't get like embargo time. I know what the embargo is. I'm not going to say it because I don't know if that's under NDA or not. So I won't say it. It is out there. It's on Twitter, actually. Like, if you go look at one of the PR people for Techland's account, like, they have it pinned straight to the profile what the embargo is. But I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get in trouble. If I don't have a code, the game comes out on the 4th and we will be recording that weekend. And I'll try to get a stream or two in there that weekend as well. Delvin's mentioned it before. Our release schedule is kind of going to be here and there. Like, some months you only get one episode from us. Others you may get two, or what needs to happen.
Ideally, it'll probably be two a month, I'm thinking.
Well, for February, I was thinking we might need to do two, especially because Horizon also comes out. No promises here. I do want to see if we can get Dev on the Horizon episode.
Yeah, that'll probably happen. Well, I think that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Follow Haley on Twitter at, what's your Twitter, Haley?
It's at Shepherd Zarel. You can follow my shenanigans there. If anyone's curious what I've been watching, this is something new I've started doing this year. A bunch of my friends on Twitter do this as well, but I have a thread now. It's pinned. I've replaced my pinned tweet since my profile picture is now me with Tom Welling. I felt comfortable replacing the pinned tweet. That pinned tweet is now a thread of all the things I've watched slash played in 2022. You will notice there are far more television shows linked in there than there are games, because I tend not to put the games in there until I beat them.
That's smart. I like it.
So.
All right. Find me on Twitter, Devin underscore Cox. Check out the Devin Cox Experience anywhere you get podcasts. And that's it. And as always, long live play.